said many times, so that you all know that the altars of this church, unlike other churches, I guess some of them, they're never closed. We don't, at a specific time towards the end of the service, open up our altars. Yes. Okay. Keep Beth wears mom in your prayers. Had a fall there and broken her wrist. But the altars of this church are never closed. And so at any time, if you feel like you need to come down and pray, you just do so. You just mind God when it comes to that. This morning, you know, in today's world, we hear a lot about blessings. You know, we may sing songs in our churches about count your many blessings. You know, that song, we hadn't sung that in a long, long time that I can remember, but count your many blessings and all of that. And you hear a lot of talk about that. A lot of talk about people that say, well, I have been blessed. I said it this morning. I said, how's everybody? And a number of folks said, I'm blessed. And you hear that all over the place. And people talk about, well, I received a blessing and given it through a praise report and whatnot. You know, but this morning I would like for us to explore what a blessing is and how to receive a blessing, because it is my conviction that I don't really think that a lot of people have a true understanding of how to actually receive a true blessing, and they don't know what a blessing is. And the word in the New Testament often used for blessing, as recorded in your Bible, translated in your Bible, I mean to say, often is meaning happiness. Somebody who is blessed, but you know, God is, you know, giving you something. You're a blessed person, and that you're walking in that happiness of God, not just happiness of anything, but happiness of God that is there. The word blessing, you know, to us means many things in this world. It means a materialistic thing that you got. Well, God blessed me with a brand new car. Or God bless me with this emotional feeling that I have right now. Maybe that's a feeling of happiness or something out there. You just say, I just feel blessed today. A blessing may be a number of things that you can possibly think of that are out there. A lot of times, however, we think of blessings in materialistic things only. You think that a blessing that God gives you is money or objects or things of that nature. And maybe we can expound on that a little bit, because a blessing to me is anything that God chooses to reward us with. And I can tell you the biggest blessing of all that you get as a Christian is eternal life with Jesus Christ. That is a blessing. And just so I can illustrate a point real quick in the beginning, you don't just get that blessing just because you're living and breathing. It's not an entitlement, okay? And so the question that you can kind of ask yourself as we look at every type of blessing this morning is, what is it and how do I get it? Because you can do that with salvation. What is it? Well, salvation is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, and do I just do anything? What do you have to do? There is a process to be saved. You have to do some things. It's just not just something that slaps you upside your face. And God just lays it down there to you. So I want to look at a passage of Scripture that's very familiar in Matthew chapter 5. You can turn in your Bibles. It'll be on your screen as well. But let's look at this and find out a little bit about people that have been blessed. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." We're going to go to the 12th verse. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If you read throughout these Beatitudes, we call them, and you look starting in verse 3 and going on down, and it says, blessed are those that are this, and blessed are those that are that, and you can look at the very first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean to be poor in spirit? Blessed are those people that are humble, that have humbled themselves to in such a way that you realize that you're not anything. And you can read down through every one of these things that describes someone that is blessed. And it is somebody that God is either calling you to be something or to do something. And everyone, be humble right there. And you go on down, it talks about mourning. And we can talk about each one of these and break it down. But my sermon is not over the Beatitudes this morning. And it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. You got to be making peace, not people that stir up things that are out there. And I want you to look at this common theme, because he is calling people, like I said, to an action, to either do something or to be something today. And we mix things up in the world. There are so many folks that think that just because for the sake that you are breathing, that God is entitled to bless you. Contrary to an extremely popular belief, and this is not a joke, God is not the United States of America. He is not the United States government. He does not just give you stuff when you don't have any skin in the game of that, okay? He doesn't dish out entitlement things to you just because you're a citizen of the United States, or maybe you don't even have to be a citizen of the United States. That happens in the United States of America today. You can never work a day in your life and do just fine in the United States of America. It happens, okay? That's not the way that God works. God has worked himself. Do you understand what I'm telling you? He worked himself in the very beginning. He started working. He created this world. He created things. He's been working. He's been on the job from day one so that we can have eternal life. And don't you imagine that for you to get a blessing, that God wants you to have done something. Now, it's not about what you do. It's about your heart in which that you bring to God, because there's really nothing you can do that would be, you know, perfect for God. But he wants to see your heart and how that you are out there and you're doing things. Let's look at Luke chapter 11, verse 28. I want to show you this verse of scripture. It kind of brings it out in a nutshell this morning. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. He replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Okay? If you want to know how to get a blessing, what a blessing, I said earlier, is a reward. You get a reward after having done something. Right? Okay? Again, not like the United States of America. Not everybody gets a trophy. That's something that's horrible in our school system, horrible in teens. You don't get rewarded for not doing anything, because it doesn't really work in the real world. It just does not work. You can go to work. Ruth, you can go to work tomorrow and not do anything. You reckon at the end of the week your boss is going to want to pay you your paycheck? Well, everybody gets a paycheck, right? you gotta work for it. And see, that this way of thinking in the world is translated into God, because there's so many people that walk around, and there may be somebody in here today, you're wondering, well, why hasn't God blessed me like he may have blessed somebody else? I'm not saying this is a blanket statement for everybody, but that may be because that other person has been out there and they've been minding God a whole lot better than you've been minding God. They have been hearing the word of God and obeying the word of God more than you have been obeying and hearing the word of God. So every now and again, when you're looking and comparing yourself to one another, why don't you take a moment and stand in a mirror and say, have I done anything for God to be able to reward me? And maybe you have. And maybe you're in the midst of a spiritual battle. And then there's sermons that's been preached on that too. But I think there are so many people that you're missing out, because I want you to understand now, God loves to bless. The things that some of these seeker-friendly preachers preach are all true most of the time. God has this store chest. I want you to imagine it in heaven right now, just waiting to shower down blessings and blessings and blessings upon you. They got your name written on them, okay? He's just waiting right there. He's not saying, oh, you know, I may just give this one. He's got them. He's sitting there. They're ready for you. They're in the bank. The money is in the bank. But just like your money in the bank, how do you get money out of the bank? That's a good question. How do you get it? You go withdraw it, or you get your wallet right there, and you take out your debit card, and you go and you swipe your credit card into the machine, and money comes out right. You just don't get money out of the bank without you having done anything, right? You had to at least do something. You had to make a withdrawal. You had to make a purchase. You had to go to the store. You had to sit on your computer. Unless you have some kind of fraud person, then money's just, you know. Or maybe you have a spouse. I won't say which one, but it's just going, okay? But you may not be seeing it. But you still have got to do something. And the same way that I want you to understand this morning, you got a bank account in heaven with so many blessings that are there, and God is just wanting you to withdraw them. But guess what? You just don't get to say, God just blessed me today. And he goes, oh, here's a deposit. No, they're not yours like that, okay? They're not yours like that. God wants you to be about his business, and that's why this thing right here, and they were talking about a person had cried out in the crowd, bless the woman who gave birth to this man. And he said, Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Now, that's a blanket statement right there. Who hear the word of God. You can hear the word of God all day long, and you can hear it, but are you obeying the word of God? And I have said this many times over the past couple of weeks. Obedience, that one word right there of obedience, unlocks so much, so many things in your life. And you could talk about a financial blessing, because we equate blessings way more heavily in finances in the United States of America. But you got so many people that they want a financial blessing. But are you blessing anybody else with your money? Or are you just all about yourself? Are you all about yourself? You know, you want God to bless you with more money, but you can't be faithful with the money he's already given you. Let's say he's not like that. If you go to your bank and you are not a good steward of your money and you spend more money than you take in, your bank account's going to be broke. Is it not? Okay. If you are not doing what God has said, and so you're not being a good steward of listening to him, obeying his commands and all, then your blessings that you receive are not going to be good. You're not going to have any. You may be heaping curses upon yourself right here. And so I want you to understand that it takes something. It takes some walking for God to bless you. It takes something for you to do. It's not just church attendance. I'm talking about Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. It takes a life of living. God doesn't want you to say, well, I came and I punched that time clock, and boy, he's going to bless me. I can tell you a number of different folks that talk about financial giving, where they have given. Not just, Lord, there are so many people out there that are so crazy in their mind that I could make me a commercial tonight and put it on the TV and preach a sermon kind of like this, and especially read Galatians. James, you can go ahead and put this up there in a minute. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, and talk about sowing and reaping. And I can say, hey, look, I'm a preacher. If you will sow a seed, okay, and sow it now, sow a seed to this ministry, then $1,000 maybe, then God is going to bless you, and he's going to just rain down blessings upon you. It don't work that way, folks. And I think those preachers that are on TV that are doing that right, they have a special place in the pits of hell, okay, if they don't get their life right and turn around. Because, see, who's getting blessed? See, you got to be putting money into God. Not a man, not a building, not a place, but you have to be putting into the ministry work of God. And not if it's just like here. Let me give you a scenario. It doesn't matter how much money you put in these plates right here. If I was stealing money out of here and putting it in my pocket, or if the leadership of this church was mishandling this money, you would not be seeing financial blessings in this house. It takes actions. It takes obedience to the word of God to be able to see blessings to come in your life. And then blessings can come in 100 different ways. I can't even talk about all of those things in which a blessing can come. But I want you to look at this principle right here in Galatians chapter 6. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from the sinful nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. A person reaps what a person sows. So I ask you, take a look at where what you're doing right now. Are you can be, if you take your money and you are sowing it, sowing when I mean putting a seed in the ground, not sowing like stitches of clothing, but you are planting seeds in worldly things, in earthly things, then guess what you're going to get? You're going to get earthly blessings. You're going to have a fat 401k account. You may have a good investment retirement account. You may have a bank account that would choke a horse. Go ahead. I sow seeds in worldly things. I put money in my 401k account and retirement. I'm a banker. I encourage you to do so too. Come see me. I'll give him a card. Okay. But where is what is that money? Those things aren't blessings. That has no heavenly good to it. What in $1 has anything to do with your eternal life? Absolutely nothing. We spend our time pleasing man and working and doing everything of sowing into this world, but we're expecting God to give us supernatural spiritual blessings. That doesn't make sense. Your boss is going to give you a raise. You are going to do well in life. You're going to have this and that and the other. And we call that stuff blessings. And I challenge you to do this for a moment. I challenge you, read your Bible and find every time it is talking about blessing. Blessing, that word, okay? Pull out your Strong's Concordance and do a word study on blessing. And I can tell you, you will come up short with the amount of times it's talking about worldly things that God is going to bless you with. The New Testament, just about every time it talks about a blessing, it's talking about what God done for us in sending His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that's a blessing right there. Because I paid $3 for a scratch-off ticket and won $1 million, you figure that's a blessing? Do you count that as a blessing? The fact that you put money in your 401k and it's triple now, is that a blessing? I don't count blessings in this church in finances because we're $2,100 over budget today because somebody wrote a $2,100 check that put us over the budget like that. Because how that's a blessing is because there's just no way that it happened outside of God doing it. If human beings are doing it for you, it is not a blessing. God has to be in the midst of that. And God is only in the midst of whatever is bringing fruit for Him. And so I'm asking you, when you look at your life, I hear it. I'm a pastor. I hear it all the time. And there's people that plead and then they're pleading. And y'all, I could come up to you individually and I could give you my assumption or my evaluation of what I think you should do so you can get out of some slumps that you're in. But you're not going to listen to me like that because you're going to feel like I'm attacking you. Yes, I got something that I could tell a lot of people that come up to me with this distraughtness that I can't get out of this situation that I'm in, whether that's a financial situation or whether that is a situation of just despair in your life. Oftentimes, more often than not, you are not getting a blessing because God is just withholding it from you because He's mean. Do you understand that? God's not sitting back going, ha-ha, keep on going, I'm not going to do this for you. That's not the God we serve. That is not the God. He's got them ready. I mean, it's open. He wants to give it to you. But we got people that are sitting down, and they just figure, hey, I'm going to sit down, and, you know, because I am Corey Moyer, I just deserve blessings from God. I figure that kind of attitude I may not have a lot. And so I ask myself every day, what am I supposed to be doing? God, what do you have for me to be doing today? What is it? Why are you living? Why do you have breath in your body? Ann, Tom, whatever your name is, Deborah. I'm getting all these D's mixed up over here. All right. Why do you have breath in your body right now? Why are you not dead? Because God wants you to be doing something. He is not finished with you yet. He has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. And that is the only reason. Not because you're taking blood pressure medicine, or not because you have a nitroglycerin pill, or not because that some doctor gave you a heart transplant or angioplasty or whatever those things are. It's because God is sustaining your life right now because he has for you something to be doing upon this earth. If it was not that, boom, you'd be gone. You would be gone. So he has you to do something right now. And see what he does when you are walking in God's footsteps, as far as what he has laid out for you in your life, you're going to look back at where you have been, and you're going to see this beautiful garden of fruit that is out here. Because when you are doing stuff that is of God, fruit grows. Because, see, as I taught last Sunday, one plants, one waters, but God shines down the sunlight upon that in which you have sown and watered, and things grow from that. If you've just gone along in your life going boop, 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 planting all these seeds and throwing a little water over there, but it's not anything for God, then the sun is not shining on that wet soil with the dirt on there, and you're never going to see anything grow. When you can look back and you see that, then you know I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to keep going. You may see a little plant over here just kind of, you know, withering a little bit. Now, you know you got to do better next time in what you're doing. Maybe you planted it too shallow, didn't do deep where it was on rocky soil and all those different types of things. We can go on and on about that. But what you've got to do is you've got to take your situation that you're in right now. Right now. Look at it. And quit blaming everybody else and talking about and speaking these things, Randy, speaking all this stuff. Well, I can't get a job, and I can't do this, and I can't get well from this sickness that I have, or my children never going to come to know the Lord, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. And what you need to do is stand up and say, God, how am I going to do this? Because I know that this is what you want me to be able to do. Show me the path in which you want me to walk. And then what you got to do is you got to get up off of your blessed assurance, and you got to do what God told you to do. And I can guarantee you this. I challenge you on this. Try it, and then come tell me when it don't work. Come tell me when it does not work, because I'm telling you that it will work. It will work. I want somebody over the next couple of weeks to come and tell me, and then I'm going to sit down with you. We're going to talk about what you've done, and we're going to try to figure out where you went wrong in that, because I can tell you for 26 years, God has never failed to bless me when I've been about his business. Not one single solitary time. And I'm sure somebody who is four times my age almost, Miss Lois Hallington, right here being 100 years old next month, she would tell you the same thing. God has never failed to bless this lady right here in 100 years of serving Christ. Can you beat that? 100 years of serving God? I could sit here and we can have a testimony time. Can somebody in here today tell me of how God has blessed you about something? Jim, your knee. You know, Jim, she's been coming, serving God, and been back to church. God bless her, and God has healed her knee. Dean? Amen. Harry? Amen. 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 Praise God. Anybody else got something that God has done for them that you can share with how you've been blessed? That is That's where I want to end. I'm glad you said that, Randy, because that's where I was going to end tonight. Let me just tell you something. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have never worked out your salvation, when I mean that, I mean that you just didn't say, well, good Lord, I'm feeling a good little tickling feeling in my leg, so I'm going to come up here to an altar and I'm going to pray some words out of my mouth over here that have no meaning to them really in my heart, and then somebody's going to tell me that I've been saved. Did you read the back of your bulletin today? Very, very, very great thing on the back of the bulletin there. And I come up with a pretty good analogy last night on the phone that I may not even be able to think. I don't do this for anybody, and I'm not going to do it for you, and I don't do it for myself. When I'm talking to you and when we're preaching something like I preached this morning, I want you to understand that what kind of leader would I be, or what kind of doctor would it be that you had that every day when you came in for your 6 month or your 1 year checkup, that doctor gave you a clean bill of health. Everything's fine. Everything's wonderful. You're doing good. You're great. You're 80, but you got the health of a 20-year-old, doing good. Yet all the time, your scan showed that you had stage 4 cancer. And maybe it was a type of cancer that could have been cured had the doctor just told you. But every time the doctor was just telling you, you're doing good. Keep up the good work. You're doing good. Keep up the good work. What good does that do for you? And it don't do any good for you when you do that for your people that you love or for your children, when you keep telling your children, hey, you're doing good. It's wonderful. You hide the fact that there are action steps that people need to take to make things right. And you can do that. There are times, I'm not just going to tell you when you come in here and you got something that's going and you can't get past this stumbling block that's happening in your life or this stronghold. We know how to bust down strongholds, don't we? Prayer and fasting, the Bible tells us. There are answers out there to your problem. But if you don't read and you don't obey the Word of God, then you are not going to be blessed. You are not going to be walking in that. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to say just because you're in this church today that you are saved, because you may not be. You may not be. And I'm going to tell you, do a self-evaluation for a moment. Ask yourself right now, did I just pray a prayer sometime with some preacher or way back when I was 3 years old? If you cannot look, I don't care how old you are, whether you're 50, whether you're 100, whether you're 20, if you can't look back at the past and see fruit growing in that garden in which you just left, you may not be saved. And I'm not telling you that because I want you to walk away from here all down because I told you that you wasn't. Because I want you to come up here and let me tell you how you can be. Okay? I want you to tell you, because see, if you can't get blessings until you start right there, you've got to stand up one day and say, I am a sinner. Anybody ever has known, if you've been to AA or NA or whatever the A's are in the support groups, the number one thing is you had to stand up and say, my name is Corey and I am whatever that you're in there for. And for God, you've got to stand up and say, my name is such and such, my name is Corey and I am a sinner. And number two, you have to say, hey, but I believe in every fiber of my body that Jesus Christ died on a cruel Roman cross. 3 days later, he rose from the dead to be my Lord. And did you want to accept that free gift of eternal life that he has in that storehouse for you, that greatest of all blessings that he's ever had for you? You want to accept that. And that you want him to not just be a little sidecar show with you, but you want him to rule your life. And that you want him to forever change you. And then you do that, and then you walk in what you just believed. And I'm going to tell you, it is a journey unlike any other journey that it has ever been. You're going to still go through problems in your life. Storms are still going to come. The waves are going to crash and knock you down, but you're going to get back up. You're going to dust the water off, not because you had the power in your own legs to do it, because Jesus Christ, he reached down and he grabbed you and he puts you back on your feet. Now, that's a blessing right there. That is a blessing. And if you're not walking in that today, if you can't feel that God is there with you every day, not in materialistic things. I mean in you and in your soul. If you can't feel that today and then you can't receive these blessings that God has for you, you are missing out. And I don't care what any preacher tells you on TV. It don't matter how much money you put in this plate. That does not matter if your heart is not in that. There were people yesterday, one lady come up to us, and it was the lowest amount that anybody donated to the car wash. She said, all I got is $2. She had a wallet there, and she gave a $5 bill. She said, I got to go buy something like this, like at Walmart. She said, but I want to give $2 today. And she kind of felt a little bad about that. I said, no, ma'am. I said, let me tell you right now. I said, those $2 that you gave will be worth more than that $20 somebody gave, and they were supposed to give $100. It's all about your heart. Because if God is telling you that you are supposed to be giving him 3 hours a day in prayer, but you only give him 1.5, but he told this other person that they need to give 30 minutes and they gave him 30 minutes, or they gave him 45 minutes, who's going to be more blessed? That person who's minding God, who is obeying God. Look at your life, one question about how to receive a blessing. This is it. Took all this time just to tell you this. It is obedience to God himself. Not obedience to me, not obedience to your mama and your daddy. Of course, you better do that if you want some little earthly blessings, okay? But obedience to God. Are you being obedient to God with your time, with your talents, and with your money? Are you being obedient to God in those areas? Because if you want him to bless you with your time and bless you with some talents and bless you with some money, then you better be blessing him in all of those areas in your life and obeying him every step of the way. And I want to encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you haven't been looking behind you and you can't look right now and see fruit, you can come up here. And if I can't get over there, somebody's going to tell you how you can go and the things that you can do to where you can see fruit, and that God can just do what he does best for us. He loves to take care of his children, and he can just shower you. And you can count your many blessings, see what God has done. You can sing that song, and you can begin to count them, and there'll be more than the ones that are on your hands or toes. You'll have to start counting your hair to see how much God has blessed you. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. You're blessed today because you live in the United States of America. That's one right there. You're blessed. But God has so much stuff spiritually for us. But I don't want you to miss it because you think somehow he's just going to show up and deliver it to you without you have ever done anything in obedience to him, because he's not. Let's pray.